Let's continue reading verses 10 through 18 of Joshua chapter 1. Now, in the second half of the chapter, we see the people getting ready to cross over the Jordan River into the land. We also have a special exhortation given here to the 2.5 tribes who had decided to live on the east side of the Jordan River. Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the camp and command the people, saying, 'Prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess.' And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, 'Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, "The Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord has given your brethren rest, as he gave you, and they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise.' So they answered Joshua, saying, 'All that you command us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage.'" Once again, let's begin this second half of Joshua chapter 1 with some background notes. The book of Exodus is the inspired account of how God led his people out of Egypt under the leadership of Moses. The book of Joshua is the inspired record of how God led his people into the promised land under the leadership of Joshua. The first half of the book, chapters 1 through 12, is the record of how Israel went in and conquered the land. And the second half of the book, chapters 13 through 24, is how Israel divided up the land and possessed the land. The land is the land where the nation of Israel is today. This is the promised land that God gave to the Jewish people, the physical descendants of Abraham. We read in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 7, "Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your descendants I will give this land.'" We see that this promise of the land is part of the Abrahamic covenant. And we believe the Abrahamic covenant is still valid today. God owns the world, and it is his right to give the land to whomever he chooses. Well, he gave the land of Canaan to Israel, and the contract is still valid. The Abrahamic covenant was unconditional when God gave it. Now, it's true. The full right to the use and enjoyment of the land was only to be when Israel was following the Lord. So the biblical right to the land does not justify the present secular state of Israel in doing anything they want to reclaim this promised land. No. But Romans 11 in the New Testament, showing that the Abrahamic covenant is not to be spiritualized away, Romans chapter 11 assures us that there will come a spiritual revival in the nation of Israel in the future, and many will turn to the Messiah who they once rejected. Then indeed, the Lord will come and make sure that Israel's enemies are overcome and the land is given to the nation of Israel. And this great time may be in the near future. You know, we were speaking to a Jewish Christian this summer in Jerusalem. He's been serving the Lord for 25 years in the state of Israel. He told us that there has been more interest by far this past year in Jesus as the Messiah than ever before. He said that he's even had people knock on his door to want to know more about Jesus. So some great days are ahead for the nation of Israel. More we could say, but we have to move now to our doctrinal or teaching points. So doctrinal or teaching point number one, God wants his people in the land he has given them. God wants his people in the land he has given them. We've said that the promised land that God gave to his people in the Old Testament is a spiritual picture of the spiritual land of blessings that God has given to his people today. We also said that while God gave the land of Canaan to his people, they still had to go in and possess the land and occupy the land. Do you see the spiritual picture and spiritual parallel? We too must go in and appropriate and possess and occupy the spiritual land of blessings the Lord has given us. And here's the point. God wants us to do so. God wants his people in the land he has promised them. That's our doctrinal point. Now, where do we see that doctrine or teaching taught here in Joshua chapter 1? We see it in the case study of the 2.5 tribes mentioned in verse 12, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Back in Numbers 32, we read that these tribes came to Moses and asked if they could settle on the east side of the Jordan River. God wanted his people to cross over the Jordan and live in the land. But the 2.5 tribes did not want to cross over because they liked the looks of the Transjordan side. That is the land on the east side of the Jordan River. The land toward the sunrise, as we read there in verse 15. The 2.5 tribes saw that it was good grazing land for their livestock. And they thought it was more protected there for their wives and children. In other words, they did not fully trust the Lord and did not show complete faith in the Lord. And we see in Numbers chapter 32 that the Lord was not pleased with this attitude. And the 2.5 tribes were rebuked for their lack of faith. Nevertheless, the Lord allowed these 2.5 tribes to dwell on the east side of the Jordan on the one condition that the military men of these 2.5 tribes would come across the Jordan River and fight with the rest of the tribes until the land was conquered. Then they could go home to their wives and children and livestock on the east side of the Jordan River. Here in Joshua chapter 1, Joshua reminds the 2.5 tribes of their obligation and commitment, and they agree to it. Do you see the spiritual lesson here? God wants his people in the spiritual land that he has given us, enjoying the spiritual blessings and fighting the spiritual battles without defeat. He doesn't want us wandering in the wilderness of Christian experience, and he doesn't want us to be half-hearted Christians or borderline Christians like the 2.5 tribes, temporarily coming into the land, doing little fighting of spiritual battles, but then running back to the world. You see the picture. He wants us to dwell in the land, but he will not force us. As with Israel, God allows us to be only as committed as we choose. There is the permissive will of God. But remember, God would rather have his people in the land that he has given us. God wants his people in the land he has given them. Doctrinal point number two. God wants his people with the courage he has given them. God wants his people with the courage he has given them. Why did the 2.5 tribes fail to follow the Lord's will 100%? Lack of faith and courage. Now, they admired faith and courage in others and realized its importance. Look what they say to Joshua in verse 17. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. So they knew what faith and courage were all about, and they admired it in others. But they lacked 100% commitment on the part of themselves. Now they did show some courage in sending their military men across to help conquer the enemy. But they did not have the courage to believe that God would protect their wives and children in the land. They were not fully courageous. They did not avail themselves of the courage that God would have given them. What about us? Do we have the courage to obey all that the Lord has commanded us? Do we have the courage to believe that God will do for us all that he has promised? Or do we hold back from full commitment because we are afraid? Are we afraid that God will not take care of us financially if we commit ourselves 100%? Are we afraid that God will not take care of our families if we commit ourselves 100%? Are we afraid that God will leave us stranded somewhere, in a hospital, or alone, if we commit ourselves 100%? Listen, folks, God is not like that. Let me read to you 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Do you believe this promise? When God calls us to be 100% committed, he gives us the courage to do so. God wants his people with the courage he has given them. Practical application from this second half of Joshua chapter 1. Don't belittle a fellow believer from the 2.5 tribes. Don't belittle a fellow believer from the 2.5 tribes. Now, do you understand this practical application? We've been saying that the 2.5 tribes fell short of all that God wanted of them and for them. But remember, they were God's people. And God did allow them their choice of partial commitment. And he did give them the land on the east side of the Jordan River. And they did send their armies over the Jordan River to help conquer the land and the enemy. And God did say, verse 15, that they then could go back and enjoy their land on the east side of the Jordan River. So don't belittle a fellow believer from the 2.5 tribes. Some Christians may not be 100% committed, but they are not 0% committed either. And let's face it, folks, we're all 2.5 tribers to one degree or another, right? We may be committed in certain areas of our lives, but not in others. And some of us love to straddle the Jordan River. We like to be in the land with one foot, but in the world with the other foot at the same time. Illustration. You know, I vividly remember a Christian couple in the 2.5 tribe category many years ago. Margie and I were newlyweds, and we didn't have much money, and we were leading a church youth group. Now, there was another Christian couple in the church that we were hoping would get more involved. But they did not want to take a step of faith outside their comfort zone. They did not want to commit themselves wholeheartedly to help in the work. However, they did have money, and they supported our ministry by practically giving us blank checks to get whatever we needed for the program. I quickly learned that Christians who are not fully committed can still be greatly used of God. So don't belittle a fellow believer from the 2.5 tribes.